Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And may we be blessed in the hearing of God's good news. This Sunday, what I'm going to do instead of preaching a sermon is offer a reflection. I usually don't do this because it's much easier to speak my own words, but one, I was very moved by a reflection that I read this week, and two, given the turmoil of the times that we are in, I mean, our state is called Ground Zero, there's the tremendous turmoil in Japan right now that not only the people of Japan are experiencing in the most brutal and intensive way possible, but also a ripple effect of that is occurring in the world. The events in Libya have escalated to a point that has many concerned. And often we forget that instead of talking, what we need to do is reflect. We need to think about and pray about, where is God in all of this? Because God is clearly in all of this. And what is God calling us to do, the people whom God has chosen? So instead of assuming the posture of preaching, which is standing, I'm going to sit, because this is just as much my reflection and things that I need to reflect on, as well as the congregation. I invite you to, if you'd like, to close your eyes or, you know, in whatever way is comfortable for you to listen. I am thinking about the importance of an alternative vision, the kind of vision that we need more than ever in our public leaders, from the U.S. Senate to the local pulpit. It's the kind of vision that allows us to imagine alternative paths, God's alternative paths. Our stories this Sunday give us two people who had this kind of vision, Abraham and Nicodemus. Abraham had the courage to respond to God's call to leave his home and journey to a far place. And out of that journey came a new nation and a journey to a far place. Out of that journey came a new people, God's people. Nicodemus's courage isn't so obvious at first. He's curious, but he's not quick to join the Jesus movement. After all, he must keep up appearances. He is a loyal member of the institutions that comprise empire, and he keeps his status well protected. But in a covert late-night encounter with Jesus, Nicodemus gets a new view of things. In the Old Testament, God says, "Go, Abram, go from your country, go from your kindred and your father's house. Pack your bags, load up the camels, gather your family, leave behind all that is familiar. Go to the land that I will show you, to a new place. Go, and I will bless you." The story from Genesis gives us the beginning of the history of the Israelites. We come in on the story as the patriarch Abram is given a command and a promise. He must leave his home, sever his roots, and set off into the unknown. We too are on a journey. We too have been given a command and a promise. Perhaps not as dramatic as the one Abram hears. We are not loading up our camels and taking off for a foreign country. Our names will not change, as did Abram to Abraham. But we are on a journey. It is the season of journey. It's the season of Lent. Our journey began, and our reminder of the command came on Ash Wednesday. The words we heard on Ash Wednesday invited us to observe a holy Lent, a time of fasting and penitence, a time, as the words with the cross of ashes said, to remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Those harsh words gave us a command, but they also gave us a promise. We want to trust in God's promise, but we know it has something to do with dying, something to do with giving something up. And most often, we really don't want to do that. We might be willing to make a change, but usually we see that as adding something to our lives, not really giving up something of ourselves. So we set out on this journey of Lent, maybe wondering if this is the year we will get it. Will we get the promise of Lent this year? Will we get the blessing of Lent? Will we find ourselves closer to God? We embark on the journey of Lent, I believe, because we want what Nicodemus in today's gospel story wants. We want life. Our hearts want God's life in us, the fire of new life. We want what Nicodemus wants, and like Nicodemus, we don't want to give up, to set aside what Nicodemus is unable to set aside. Nicodemus, John's gospel story tells us, is unable to understand what Jesus taught, what he means, because he is attached to all those things that he is assured of, that the world assured Nicodemus of the things he can touch and claim as lasting and important. He holds fast to his position. He was a leader of the people, a Pharisee, a person of power and prestige and standing in his community. Nicodemus held fast to his reputation. He only approached Jesus by night, lest he be seen in the light of day and lose his reputation. Nicodemus holds fast to the rules, to the sure things of his youth, the things that he could prove and the things that are familiar. But Nicodemus comes under cover of darkness, seeking God's heart. So Jesus says, "Look here, Nicodemus, see the kingdom. See this new reality right in front of your nose. Enter what you cannot prove. Enter the kingdom. This is the journey. Come along with me. Enter your heart into my heart." Jesus offers a new truth, a new life that is not about rational thought or provable fact. He calls Nicodemus to recognize the reality behind the surface reality. God's heart in our hearts, in God's heart. Jesus calls Nicodemus to live life on more than one level, to experience birth into that new level of being. There is a reality that is not subject to the limitations of space and time and matter. Jesus says, "Come and see this world. Come and experience this new life. It will change everything. It will change your heart. And this new life, Jesus tells Nicodemus, is not only to be found by first encountering the mystery of dying, the mystery of self-offering, of suffering, the mystery of the cross. Jesus says that the journey to the new life is the journey to the cross. And this is no easy journey. The journey of Lent takes us to that cross if we're willing to go. And a truth that is so hard for us to get, the irony that almost escapes us, is that this is not about our ability to go on the journey, our muscling and pushing our way through into a better place. In this journey, we do not travel at all. God travels in us if we trust and if we let God. The promise of this is that God meets us right here where we live. God meets us on the cross. God met us on the cross planted by the Romans, and God meets us again and again wherever crosses are planted in our day and in our lives. In the immorality of classrooms without textbooks, in the outrage of children without care, in the scandal of seniors dying alone apart from the community, in public places of injustice and private places of pain and fear and loneliness. All of these crosses are places where God wants to meet us. That's the promise. It is a promise of journey and of destination, all in one. God will meet us, and in the meeting, we will discover blessing, and we will become God's blessing. We might prefer to look the other way, to avert our eyes from the crosses around us, and to deny the sharp pain of the crosses within us. We are tempted, as was Nicodemus, to forego our integrity for a safe solution. As a culture and as churches, we do not want to travel the hard journey to the cross. We do not allow ourselves the meeting place that the cross means. But as followers of Jesus, we stand against the culture of the quick fix. We embrace the struggle with ambiguity. We must make the hard choice. We must take the journey into the unknown, because we trust the promise that God will meet us in the struggle and we will know new life. We can only be born again, to use the words of the fourth gospel, if we can find within ourselves, as individuals and a community, the places in need of healing. We can only be born again and receive the fire of new life that Nicodemus longed for if we can look beyond ourselves to that other in need. Each of us has such a place of emptiness, a place of fear, of addiction, of loneliness, of greed, of need. If we deny our own need for God to heal us and to heal our world, if we look away from our pain or the pain of our neighbors, we deny God's offer of saving grace. If we will not see the cross, we cannot journey into the fire of new life. And I offer this in the morning in the context of the fact that this congregation, as well as the world, is on a journey. It's not a journey just about changing staff or changing what we do. It's a journey about a decision of whether all of us will allow God's love to transform our hearts. Not our heads in the way we think, but our hearts. If we choose to allow that, and it is a choice, our hearts can't help but be transformed. And that means, like Sarah, who had to walk up the aisle here, not knowing exactly where she was going, blindfolded and listening to the whispers of Avery in her ear. That means that we need to do the same. We need to trust, not knowing where we're going, listening to the whispers of God in our ear. If we allow God to touch us, to love us just a little bit, our hearts cannot help but be transformed. If our hearts are transformed,
The world could not possibly be in the situation that it's in. It's our choice as individuals, our choice as the church, and it's our choice as the people of God.